Well, we're looking this morning. Last week, I didn't use hardly my notes or anything at all. God spoke to me about something, and I had some things he spoke to me about. I put them down, and I found over time doing that, lots of times he'll give me different things, but it isn't necessarily something he wants to use right then. And sometimes this is the life of faith. You know, you walk along and you study. The Bible says you study to show yourself approved to God. You do those things, but sometimes there's things he wants us to talk about and say that we don't know about at the time. You know, if you want to have everything prepared ahead of time, you're not going to walk in the faith life. Because lots of times God wants to work through us and we don't have everything up front. That's where it takes faith to walk in this thing. So praise God. You know, I've always, one of the things that over the years, I had listened when I was a young Christian to courses that they had in about reaching the lost, and they would do different things and do stuff. But what it would end up to mostly be was they'd have this canned thing that you were always supposed to say to people and you're supposed to do all the time. And they would have that. And this is what I found out over the years. It never works like that. It never works that way. And because you just can't write a canned thing, because every person is different. Everybody's different in their stages or where they're in, even as a sinner or a saint. And if you just have canned answers that you hand out, lots of times you're not going to minister to people at all. You can't do that. God knows where people's hearts at or what they're in or what they were doing. I had people witness to me so many times over the years, and they did more to keep me away from God than get me to him. Because they came along with their ideas and their plans and their purposes, and I found out later they weren't listening to God. They had no clue what was going on inside of me. They had no clue whatsoever. And that's one thing, is ministering to people, you have to listen to what God says. Sometimes it don't seem to make sense, what God's saying. I've had God sometimes tell me to talk to a person about a certain thing, and I think, now that sounds sort of stupid. And you know, and I ignore it for a while, but then after a while, okay. And here you find out, it's just where you need to go. And so you want to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? We're looking at receiving the power of God. And it's one of the things in doing it, the Lord wanted me to talk about, as we were talking last week, but again this week, about the importance of the vessel that's filled with power. Most Christians really don't know who and what they are. They don't, you know, they just, you know, I got saved, I'm forgiven, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm a child of God. And but they don't understand. And that's why I was looking at the scripture. What the scripture says that I am, I need to know. And that's the important part. Now, I'm going to turn this morning and go over to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Some familiar scriptures there, but we want to just look at them. I've talked about these scriptures before, and we went through things, but we're going to go back over. There's things that always need repeating here, and because we want to look at this vessel, because much in the church world, as we look at this thing, many people have salvation and the filling of the Holy Spirit as the same things, and they're not. You know, Jesus talked about the fact, Jesus said himself about the wineskin and what the wine that you put in the wineskin. Well, the wineskin is the new birth. You got to get born again first before you receive the Spirit. If you don't get born again, he said if you put wine, new wine, in an old wineskin, it'll burst. In other words, you can't put the Spirit in somebody who is not born again. First, they must get born again. And so we need to understand the difference between the two. I always found this out very interesting, because if we look in the Gospels of John and we look at the end of the Gospel of John and Jesus on the night he was betrayed, and he talked to the disciples, and this is one of the most interesting things. Do you know he didn't talk to them at all about getting born again? He didn't talk to them at all about getting born again. He talked to them about receiving the Holy Ghost that was coming. He talked about this power, this Holy Spirit they were going to get. The whole purpose of the new birth is you can get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the whole purpose of it. A lot of people think the whole purpose was to get forgiven. No, you got born again so you can be full of the power of God. That's what it's about. Jesus sent the disciples down before he left, and he said, go down to Jerusalem and wait there till you get born again. Is that what he said? Wait down there till you get your sins forgiven. I don't know what the church reads, but it ain't the Bible. They almost never read the Bible. We all have our little can thing. Somebody said we just bought it over the years, and we just take it and open that same can every time, and we just pass those same beans on to the next person, and those beans you shouldn't be eating. You know, they're tainted, contaminated, messed up, but we just pass them on. He said, get down there. Don't leave till you get the power. When I was preached to me concerning the gospel, I was told you need the power right away. You need to get the power. We're not told that. Oh, just get your sins forgiven. And then somewhere down the line, get the power. If you might. Or if you don't want to, you don't have to. And so things are got pretty well messed up. But we need to understand this. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17, it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In other words, if you're in Christ, he's talking about someone here who's saved, who received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. This individual, it says, became a new creation. And by Jesus, in other words, they became a new wineskin. That's what they became. And so, here Paul's speaking specifically to this about the new birth, about being born again. Now he says this in verse 18, very important. He says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. We have the ministry of reconciliation. And what does that mean? So in other words, every one of us, he said, he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You have a ministry. You know, most Christians, they look and go, well, I really don't have a ministry. I'm not a minister. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a this. I'm sorry. You have a ministry. And you have the ministry of reconciliation. Well, what does that mean to reconcile? Well, to reconcile is is the idea of to restore to friendship or harmony. And also, to reconcile has the idea of really from financially a setting accounts. In other words, you have one account, like you have accounts, and you set them and you look at them together, those accounts, and make sure they reconcile one another. In other words, it all adds up. The things add up to what they should be. You know, they'll turn around and put in on things, and you know, they'll have two different columns in the way things are run, and so you make sure that your balances come out the same on both of them. It's a double check system. So in other words, there needed to be a reconciliation. Man had a sin problem. God dealt with the sin problem, and God's dealing with the sin problem. The end of the account is this, it reconciled. In other words, the sin and Jesus coming along, it reconciled itself out. In other words, the end total came out correct. It's exact. It's what it should be. So we have the ministry of reconciliation. And that reconciliation is the fact here. God reconciled the world to himself. It does not say he's going to. It said he has. It is past tense. Through Jesus Christ, God has already reconciled the world to himself. In other words, God has reconciled. In other words, in this reconciliation, we could say this, in the fact dealing with the friendship or harmony, God is not in disharmony with the world. Well, we're sure told he is. We were preached he was. My words, that isn't what the scripture says. But that's what things get preached. See, we get preached and preached to people, and we're not dealing. We need to understand this. The sinner doesn't have a God problem. Well, we've told him he did, but he doesn't have a God problem. God's in harmony with him through Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ didn't take your sins when you accepted him? That's the whole idea the church gives. The day that you came and accepted Jesus and he forgave you of your sin. No, it's not. God reconciled himself when Jesus, did he die for the sin of the world like the Bible says? Did he really do that? Gee, the Christians make those statements but don't believe them because they go teach otherwise in what they say. He took the sin of the world. He took everybody's sin. God was reconciled. When I was born into this earth... almost 2,000 years past the time of Christ, And just think about this. He had already reconciled me with Him before I was ever born. Before I was ever born. Now, I was sure living out of disharmony with God, but God wasn't living out of disharmony with me. I was out of harmony with God. You know, in this whole idea, you know, well, you know, when I came along, when I found God, you didn't find God. He was after you before you were ever even born, knucklehead. You weren't smart enough to go after God. You weren't intelligent enough. You had no sense. You were a sinner. Lost in your darkness, dumb as a stick, thinking you were bright. And some think they still are. Salvation didn't go to the bright. Salvation came to those who let God turn the light on. Hallelujah. And they saw it. But we have the ministry of reconciliation. That is this. This is what it is. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Not imputing their trespasses. That word trespasses should be just as easy as trespassing sin. Not imputing their sin to them. And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God wasn't imputing to the world. In other words, God wasn't imputing just as laying the responsibility or blame. Do you know that God is not holding to the world? When I came to Christ, God wasn't holding my sin against me. He wasn't holding me to blame. If He was, then Christ didn't do His job. Christ didn't take my sin. See, we're supposed to go tell the world what Jesus did for them, and we go tell them Jesus died for your sin, but He's still holding it against you. He's still, you know, He's just trying to get by, and I'll tell you what. And we preach a false gospel. See, I believe the gospel is so good that most Christians think it's too good to really tell. I think most preachers, you know, I remember this one time, Kenneth Hagin was teaching on the areas of grace, and a minister came to him and said, you teach that like that? He said, people think they have a license to sin. He said, get over it. They're going to sin anyway. In other words, you don't preach it as good as it really is in the Bible because somebody will take advantage and do something dumb with it. My God. So we don't tell the truth because somebody might do something dumb with it. Well, number one, that minister is a knucklehead. There are always people who do dumb things with what's good. But you don't hold the good back from everybody because some guy's a knucklehead. But the church does. Grace is absolutely phenomenal, but people say, well, you know, if you preach grace too good, people will sin. If people get a revelation of grace, anybody who got a true revelation of grace will live whole so much better. Anybody who believes that grace gives you the license to sin is an idiot and nincompoop. I mean, they're just downright dumb as a stick. Did God give us grace so we can live worse than what we did? Paul asked a question. He said, you live better under law than grace? He said, that's a disgrace. Grace is God's ability so you can live right. That's what grace is about. That's what's so wonderful about grace. Hallelujah. Grace does something for me that I couldn't do. Grace gave me a better life. Hallelujah. So thank God. We want to follow grace. But we have this ministry of reconciliation. Now then, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now here's the key of it is, I had to reconcile myself to God. That's what we do. We accept, that's why when you look at what Paul said in his writings, here Paul wrote this letter, but Paul wrote in Romans and told us, what did you have to do to get saved? Confess your sin? Did he say that? My God, there went 90% of evangelists. Sin wasn't the issue when I came to Christ. Sin wasn't the issue at all. I was not reconciled to God. In other words, I hadn't become his friend or in harmony with him. And there's only one way to do that, is confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. I had to be born again. I had to become a new creation. I didn't have to sit there and try to think of every sin I ever committed. Dear Lord, I wouldn't even be saved today. I can't even remember all the stupid, ill things that I did. And you can't either. How could you confess your sin to be saved? That's a stupid impossibility made up of idiots who sit around religious ideas and keep people out of the kingdom. Calling it God. There's no way I could have known. God made the way so easy, the church can't get over it. How could it be that way? We got to add something to this. We got to do what the Jews did with the law. We got to add 20,000 different laws now, add them to that to explain this thing. The explanation is easy. God's so good, all you got to do is confess Jesus is Lord. We were singing about the Lord. You know, this is what they don't do. Most ministers will try to bring people to Jesus without Jesus, them ever recognizing his lordship. Oh, you just get your sins forgiven and then live like he ain't around. It's the lordship of Jesus. See, we need to be reconciled to God. Well, my day came that I reconciled myself. I went into the Bible and found out what the account was. And I found out this. To balance the account, all I had to do was believe Jesus was Lord and confess it and believe that God raised him from the dead. That settled the account on my side, became equal with the side that Jesus did. The account is settled. Everybody's trying to always add to it. Add things. We're always trying to... It is so simple. And this is what the life of faith is, not some difficult, hard thing. God tells you what you must believe for faith to work. How difficult is that? He don't tell you have to figure it out. He doesn't tell you have to come up with some idea or something. This is the simplicity of faith. People have a hard time with faith. It's very simple. They don't pay no attention to the Word. They got their own minds and their own ideas, the way they think all the things ought to operate. I love the Bible because it tells me what I need to do. It tells me. I get Holy Ghost teaches me, shows me what the Word says, so I can operate in faith in it. So I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to come up with an idea how to make this work. There's already a plan. The plan's already been set. Isn't that wonderful? Salvation is so easy that the church works night and day trying to complicate it. They work night and day, come up with more doctrines, come up with more ideas, you know. You know, you got to be baptized this way, or you got to do this, and none of that matters to anything, whether you got it or not. Oh, but it's a big deal with the church. Oh, my God. You know, we baptize in the name of Jesus only, or we do the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. My words, go down to the bar, have a few drinks, and talk it out. You'd probably come up with a better idea than what you've been doing, trying to play religious. Drunkards aren't as stupid. If any man is in Christ, you're in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. One of the things is being in Christ Jesus is one of the things when I first got saved, I listened to Kenneth Hagin's testimony about beginning when he got born again. But one of the things that I found is after he had got born again and he was healed off the deathbed, he had always witnessed to people. There's one thing to see, he had a revelation that he was a new person in Christ Jesus. And when he got around people, and especially the guys that knew him when he was younger and stuff, and they'd get around him and they knew what he was like, and he was a changed guy, and they'd ask him what happened to him. He used to say, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. And he said they'd always look at him funny. You know, what's he talking about? And then they would talk to him about, you know, doing things, and they'd say, well, go and doing this and that. I don't do those things anymore. I'm a new creation. I don't do those anymore. They'd say, what are you talking about? You're a new creation. You're the same person. You used to go do this. No, I'm not that guy anymore. I'm a new creation. See, most Christians never do that kind of stuff in their entire life. They never talk the right things about themselves. They never talk. They live their entire trying to be a Christian. It's the easiest thing to be a Christian if you talk to what the Bible says one is. It'd get real easy to do it. Talk about yourself. I'm a new creation. So he starts saying the right things. See, he learned that from the beginning. And I remember listening to him when I was a young Christian, and he talked about how he's new. And I got over in this new creation. I'm a new creation. That old guy's dead. Most Christians can tell you more about their past than they can tell you about what God's done since they've been born again. They can sit and come up with the details in the past. I have a hard time sometimes in my past sitting down and looking at things, trying to remember stuff. I sit down and think, my God, you know. But my Christian life, man, my memory's good. Why? That old guy's dead. The church has done everything they can to keep the old dead man alive. They've worked hard at it. They have worked night and day to keep the memory of the old man and diminish the new man. And so you want to keep that new, you're a new person, hallelujah. Glory to God, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Wow, the old man's dead. You know, I'm afraid the old man's trying to come back up again. The old man can't come back up again. He's dead. And then the Bible says this, consider your body dead to sin. Oh, boy, the church don't preach that. Consider your body's alive and dominating. You're just going to sin. Oh, how many preachers I've heard say, well, you're just going to sin. That's just the way it is. We all just go ahead and sin. No wonder the church has got so good at sinning. We've been preachers supposed to do it. See, we got to get over and start talking right. We're new creations. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. It's amazing. I mean, God recreated us in His image and His likeness. You thought the church would downright got excited and talked about that a lot. But they didn't. They amplify the old life. They amplify the old and not the new. And you know, they get around and think I'm better. I don't you know, drink, swear, smoke. And I'm so much better than the other guy. Man, I know sinners who live better lives than many Christians if we went and matched them by what you do and don't do. I know sinners wouldn't do a lot of things that the Christians do. But that don't mean they got a new life. You can't measure. See, we measure by do's and don'ts, and we measure by all that. See, this new life will change your life. You become a different person. I can go to anybody that I hung out with when I was in the world, and any of them ever run into them, they cannot believe the guy that they run into because he ain't the guy that they knew. If people run into you and you just seem like what you were before, you probably are. They just can't believe it. They just can't believe it. Because why? The old man's dead. He's dead. There's a different man that's alive. That's why, you know, I tell you the story. Wanda got saved. She said, I'm living with a different man. It's not the same guy anymore. It's a different man. She said, I'm living with a different man. You know what? I was as shocked as she was. I am serious. When I first got born again, it used to shock me because I would think, what is going on? And because all my life, I've gone to church as a kid and drug into church and heard 30,000 sermons a year. And I'm serious, we were in church all the time. My God, you lived there. And I never heard nothing good about it, about salvation, other than when you got saved and you old ugly thing, one day you're going to die and go to heaven, boy. But while you're here, good luck. And you heard all the stuff, good die young and everything. Well, I don't want to get too good because I'd like to live out a few years. And so you don't hear all the stupid stuff. But you get a changed life, and we need to get a hold of that fact that you get a changed life. When I got saved, I got this changed life. And this life took over. And I would go around, I would send it. Things that I would do before, and I think, my God, you know, things that bothered me terrible, they didn't bother me anymore. And I used to stop and think, isn't this weird? It's really changed. And see, I'm not much for this people get saved and talk about the night they got saved and this great weight was off of me. I want to know what happens after. Because I know people got the great weight off of them and they lived like they had a weight on them. They lived like the weight of sin didn't go nowhere. It changed my life. I wasn't some guy that was perfect doing everything right, but I'll tell you what, there was a substantial change. A substantial change. I never had a problem that I was a new creation. I was. I got born again. And see, we need to come back to the born again experience. We need to come back to that. You know, with Mike here, and I know telling his testimony, he became a changed person. He didn't think the same anymore. He didn't, you know, different people. We should be different people. I've listened to stories already. Even people who live very good moral lives and religious people got saved. Yet when they got saved, their lives changed. There's no such thing as somebody got saved. I don't care how good they thought they were. If they don't, there's no kind of changes, then they didn't get it. You could not live a godly life with the dead nature. Can't do it. Impossible. The world out here, we're going to the world and we want to reach the world. We're going to have to take the gospel of reconciliation to the world. Telling them the truth that God is not holding sin against them. God is not their enemy. That God has already reconciled them to Himself. That's what the Scripture says. We're not trying to get God to like me. We're not trying to do any of that. We're not trying to get God. God's already dealt with the sin problem with the sinner. That's the most wonderful thing to find out. In other words, God's arms are open completely for the sinner to come to Him. In a sense, it's one of the most strange things, but the sinner, in a sense, can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. We've never told them. We've told them they had to, you know, go around there, you maybe get in back of the throne a little and try to low crawl around the front and ask God to forgive you of your sin and see, you know, whatever, doing that kind of stuff. We never told the sinner that they could just come right into the face of God. We didn't tell them that. You shameful old dirty thing. The guy that told them that was more shameful than they were. The people who preach these things, they hold people back from God. God's arms are open to us. So, you know, we need to fall in line with the truth. We're supposed to reconcile ourselves to God. That's what we do. And that's when we came to Jesus Christ. We came and received Christ. We reconciled ourselves to Him. And number one, you couldn't be reconciled and become in harmony with God without having His, without being born of His Spirit. You couldn't do that. You can't, a sinner cannot be in harmony with God. Somebody who's not born again can't be in harmony with God. Impossible. They have the nature of sin. The devil's their Lord. How could they be in harmony with God? They can't be. It requires to be born again. We don't like these terms. The term born again is not liked in the church world. We've gotten away from that, but we need to get back to it because there needs to be a spiritual change in an individual. They must be born again spiritually. It must happen. There's a birth, a new birth that has to take place. You know, as you've heard me talk about before, when I was a kid in church, all they would do, they'd show a dirty heart and you have a clean heart. What Jesus did was washed up your heart. No, He didn't. Jesus gave you a new heart. He didn't give you come in and use Mr. Clean on the old heart and now you're all right. No, you aren't. You would still have the same nature. Jesus can forgive the sinner of sin, but their nature didn't change. The old covenant's the proof. What happened to them? God would turn around and once a year they'd give an offering to forgive their sins for a year, but what happened? They still lived like hell. Why? The nature never changed. Their nature didn't change. The new birth is about a nature change, a spiritual nature. If that does not change, then all of this stuff is hopeless. It's worthless. It means nothing. God didn't clean me up. He made me a new creation. Glory to God. He made me a different person. See, most of you, and you need to get over this, quit looking in the mirror. We got this mindset about the guy who we really are is this person we see physically. He is not. The guy that I look at in the mirror, this outer man, is in decay. The inward man, the real Ed Gibson, is renewed day by day. He has not gotten one second older since I accepted Jesus Christ 37 years ago. He's not one second older. He's renewed every day. The life of God can't get old. You're renewed. The real you ain't that dumb thing you've been looking at and trying to pamper and pat and everything else and doing all this stuff to it. You spend as much time about that inner man shouting instead of looking at that old man and saying, oh my God, that's terrible. This is one thing that's good. I'm getting older. I'm going to be with Jesus one day. Either he comes soon or I'm leaving. One way or the other, I'm going to be with Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that day comes, I'll be like, thank you, Lord. I don't have to see him no more. Next time I get to see them, they're going to look better. Hallelujah. We want to go be with Jesus. See, we have such a glorious message, but we've turned around and we preach a fleshly gospel. A fleshly gospel. I don't know if has your flesh changed? When I got born again, I got up the next morning, you know, I looked in the mirror, it was that same dude looking out at me. Same guy looking out at me. And you know, that outer man's been changing. The inner man's gets renewed every day. The outer man, I look in, he gets older. I look in there, don't bother me in the least. You know, people worry about getting old. Dear Lord, it's a fact, it's going to happen. Get over it. Get over it. You know, you can spend all your time, you know, go out here and, you know, you can go and go to the gym 8 hours a day and then eat all this right food and put on all the right stuff on so you could be what's her name, Christy Brinkley or somebody like that. Go ahead, they have those advertisements on TV. You want to waste all that time to do that and not prepare for the life to come? So most people are doing. Hallelujah. I'm going to be a good-looking man in heaven. I'll tell you that. Forever be with the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My God. Living that life. But I tell you what, you got to get that thinking right here and right now where we're at. Right down this place. We don't want to wait for something else. Hallelujah. We need to tell people God's not their enemy. God's not their enemy. You have to understand God's not your enemy. Hallelujah. Get the picture of the fact, you know, God dealt with the areas of sin. When we mess up, we need to understand that. I've over the years, I've talked about this. I've watched over the years people get into areas of sin as a Christian and they get away from God and they go for years away from God. And it's because they don't know who and what they are. They've never been trained in that. So they're always trying to, you know, fix things up. And well, I messed up and now God don't like me. God was in harmony with me before I got saved. Now that I'm a child of God, do you think he's not? That's why it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. He's in harmony. It's about my reconciliation, not his. It's number one, you run to God. That's on top of the list. You mess up, you run to Daddy. Number one on the list. That's the first thing to do. That's the top of the list. Why? God's in harmony with me. So I'm going to walk by faith so I'm in harmony with him. I'm going to run to the throne. Say, God, I'm here. I blew it. You knew it. Hallelujah. I confess my sin. You're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now I'm reconciled. Glory to God. Now I'm in harmony with him. He's never left harmony with me. Fellowship is broken by us, never by him. We break fellowship. We do that. But you know what? If you mess up, don't break the fellowship. Just run and repent immediately. Get it. Run and confess your sin. It said, tell him what you did. In other words, admit what you did. Don't go to him and say, oh, Lord, I messed up. Tell him what you messed up. Admit what you did. There's a great power in admitting what you did. You know, lots of times people don't understand. People do things to another person. They come and ask the person to forgive them. And if the person says, well, what did you do? Most people would don't want to talk about that. If you ain't willing to admit what you did, you weren't interested in forgiving anyhow. You weren't interested in forgiveness. It's one thing, as I found this out, when I admit what I did, it is amazing how I don't have as much trouble repeating it. That's right. You need to understand that, the power of your mouth. The faith people haven't got a hold of that at all. It's a powerful thing. When you have to admit what you did. You know, a judge won't sentence a person until they stand up in court and admit what they did. Did you know that? If you go into one of the hearings and that stuff where they turn around and give a, you know, they'll do one of the things where, you know, have a plea deal. The plea deal will not go through till the person stands up in front of the judge and said, I did such and such. And if he doesn't do it, I've known this. I've read after judges that turn around and people come and wouldn't admit certain things, and the judge threw the plea deal out. Said, you go jump. You got to stand there, plead guilty. You got to stand up and tell what you did. Say, well, that's embarrassing. Good. Get embarrassed. You probably won't do it again. So we have today, oh, we don't want anybody embarrassed. That's why people live like hell. We live in the country we do. If you got embarrassed more often, we would do a whole lot better. Woo! I'll go on to another subject here. We'll sort of let that lay down there. Oh, hallelujah. Well, God wants it. We get born again. Why? So we can receive the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. There's one thing to be born of the Spirit, have the witness of the Spirit. There's another thing to be empowered. Jesus talked about, you know, it said about John the Baptist, said he'll fill you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Well, does anybody say, now, if you want to be saved, do you want to be filled with fire? Do people say that? Have you ever heard that preached? No. So we know that's not the new birth. You know, we just throw scriptures out of the Bible. We read them and, you know, people just throw them out. What's it talking about? It's talking about something else. And, Jesus speaking of those things, you know, Jesus spoke to the disciples in John 14 and 16, 16, 17, I'll read. He said, now pray the Father. He said, he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Now just saying, he said, he's going to give you another helper. Did he say, you're going to get your sins forgiven? And he did. He said, I'm going to give you a helper. I'm going to ask Father to send help. He said, the Spirit of truth, what? Whom the world cannot receive. In other words, the world can't receive him. Why? You got to get born again to receive. He's used the term receive him. You got to come to the place you receive the Holy Spirit. He said receiving the Spirit of truth. He didn't say receiving Christ here. He's talking about receiving the truth. He says receiving the Spirit of Christ. He said the Holy Spirit. In other words, the world can't receive him. Why? You got to get born again. You got to get the new wineskin. Then you can receive him. There's no such thing as when I got saved, I got all the Holy Ghost that there is. That's a total impossibility. Jesus just told us here, you have to receive him. Him who? The Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard somebody preach? Well, come and we talk about receiving Christ. Jesus here is talking about receiving the Holy Ghost. He ain't talking about receiving Jesus. He's talking about receiving the Holy Ghost. He said the world can't receive the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they got to first receive Christ and become a vessel for the Holy Ghost. Become a vessel for it. Hallelujah. He's the Spirit of the world cannot see. Why can't they? Because, listen to this, because it neither sees him nor knows him. In other words, the salvation brought me into the place to see and know Christ. And when I learned to know Christ, then I learned to know there was a Holy Ghost to receive. You got to come to that first. See, the world has to first come to see and know, then they can have it. But he said, you know him, for he dwells with you. He'll be, and what? He dwells with you and will be in you. So we need this. I want to go over to John, the third chapter. We want to look there because, and look at where Nicodemus, there's some things here we want to talk about when Nicodemus came to Jesus, because the importance concerning the new birth and what we are, what we become inside of us, who we are. John, the third chapter, we're going to read down through here. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees in verse 1 whose name Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. Now, this identifies something about him. Number one, he was a Pharisee. The Pharisee would be this. He was probably considered, they were the word people of the day. These are the guys concerning the law. Boy, they were meticulous. They were the word people of the day. See, just because somebody considers themselves a word person don't mean they know a thing. This man didn't know nothing. Also, what was he at? He was a Pharisee, and number one, he was a ruler of the Jews. He was in the Sanhedrin. I mean, this guy's at the top of the food chain in religion. He's one of the big boys. And we're going to find out, spiritually, he hasn't got a clue. Fits much of the church world today. Spiritually, no clues. Now he says, this man came to Jesus by night. You see this? You don't have the guts to come at daytime. Somebody might see him. He's sneaking. He knows things are right. You know, this is one of the things we got to get to the point of is too many times we're afraid of people. We're afraid of what people, we won't do what's right because we're afraid of what people might think. You're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to go anywhere with fear of people. You know? Why? Because can you imagine trouble he's going to get into? He believes Jesus. You know what? This guy believes Jesus is right. But he got this nice position. And he got this nice, and you know, I don't want to lose my position. See, how people do that. Turn around. They go to a certain church, a certain denomination, an interdenomination in their group. They're thought of well and everything like that. But if they hear the truth, then people ain't going to like them as much. And they like their position in that church. And they like their what they have and their friends in that church. And they like that stuff. And that becomes the most important thing. And they won't walk in the light of it. I had a minister one time, got filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's how I got back. He came to the truth of it, got filled with the Holy Ghost. He was a pastor of a church, but he would not deal with it or let anybody know or ever talk about it in his church because he didn't want to lose his retirement. Because they would put him out. In other words, his retirement was more, you know, worth more than Jesus Christ. It was worth more than the Holy Ghost. Folks, he wasn't one guy that did that. They've done it by the hundreds of thousands. Loads of churches, loads of people. Back in the 1980s, loads of people got filled with the Holy Ghost and that stuff in meetings. I know at full gospel meetings. People would come and get filled with the Holy Ghost in those meetings, and loads of them would stay in their dead churches and keep their mouth shut. Oh, yeah. Because we like to stay tied to this is what we're doing, you know, and that stuff. Well, I don't want to leave here because Grandma and Grandpa go here and Cousin Harry and all of them, and we just, you know, this is my family and that stuff. It ain't even church to them anyhow. It's a place they go to be with their family. And the church ain't their family. The Christians ain't their family. The number one family on the list is their physical bloodline. And Jesus ain't in it. He's down on the totem pole, down somewhere toward the bottom. He ain't at the top of the totem pole. So, but anyhow. It says, this man came to Jesus by night. And he says, Rabbi, in other words, teacher, we know. Listen to this. We know. He didn't say, I know. He said, we know. In other words, the Sanhedrin knew. They knew. Why? We know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs, or some translations say wonders, because it could be either way, that you do unless God's with them. In other words, we know, God, you can't do this stuff. Now, just think about it. The Pharisees came to Jesus and said he did what he did by the devil. They lied and knew it. That's why Jesus made the statement about there wouldn't be forgiven them. Because they knew that they were lying and telling people lies. And he said, you know, he said, the Son will forgive you for anything, but the Holy Ghost won't. Because the Holy Ghost was working through him, and they said it was the devil, and they knew it wasn't. Because Nicodemus just tells us, we guys, we know you can't do this stuff. Remember the one guy that God healed and he got called before the priests and that stuff. They wanted him to know about how he was blind and he could see. And the guy said to him, he said about, you know, this guy told him that it was Jesus that did it. And the guy said, you know, he's the devil. And the guy asked this question. He said, who ever heard of a guy that's from the devil could do miracles like this? So he must go to the church in America today. They see miracles and they think it's a devil. They ought to read the Bible sometime. People don't read the Bible. I'm not saying this to be mean. I hope it shocks you in the place. Read your Bible. There is so much of what goes on today is all in the Bible. It went on then. Nothing has changed. Knuckleheads are still knuckleheads. Nothing's changed. Religious people do the same junk. Their religion means more than the word does. And they don't pay attention to what the Word says about it. You know, we ought to come to the place and really, you know, if we're wrong, we're wrong. I mean, it's just that easy. You ain't going to get it straightened out. Keep trying to act like you know something when you don't. So, we know you're from God. Nobody can do this unless. Now, this is interesting. This is one of the things that you have to learn to be led by the Spirit. How would you respond if a person came to you like this? The first thing most people would do, yeah, well, God really uses me, and I'm just go all this, and they go through all this thing. Jesus don't. Look at his response. And Jesus answered and said to him, you understand, see it, how the Holy Ghost gave a revelation of Jesus where this man's at. And he's going to reveal this man's ignorance of what he don't know. See, this guy, look what Jesus says to him. Jesus turned around. Jesus answered to him, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Would you have responded with what that guy said to this? Would you have said that? No. You want to see, this is why hearing, lots of times people hear from God but don't believe they do. Because we expect God to respond to us on the basis of our ignorance. Or maybe we even think it's intellect. Jesus is not being mean to him. He's responding to him on the basis of the foundation of what he don't understand. He doesn't understand something scripturally. He doesn't understand the foundations that were taught in the Old Testament. He doesn't understand them. This guy doesn't know this. He doesn't understand this. The law was never given for man to live the law. The law was given to prove to man he couldn't. It's like the Lord told me years ago. He said this to me one time. What's the curse of the law? Well, you'd hear people say the curse of the law is sickness and disease and all these different things on the curse. The Lord said to me, and I said, well, you know, it said these things, they say this. And he said, no, the curse of the law is you can't live it. That's the curse. You can't live it. Oh, I wish churches in America could figure that out. Religiousness is always trying to follow the laws and the rules of things and don't know what the Bible says. They don't follow the life that's in the Word. Jesus responds to this man. He says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now let's look at Nicodemus' response. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Now look, he made a response. In other words, he's completely natural on this thing. His idea is complete. But you understand, most of the new birth that's about getting saved today is taught from the flesh. Getting God to forgive you, trying to do, that's fleshly ideas, fleshly thinking. That's fleshly. And see, the Scripture tells us things, but he doesn't know them. Jesus said you need to be born again. In other words, man needs a spiritual change. The law was to lead man to the place that he knew he needed to change and he couldn't reach or he couldn't get to. He needed something from God that was bigger than what he had. He knew which would come to that. He had to have more. See, a lot of Christians, even if they even want to get born again, they try to live their life out by themselves. You can't do that. You need the grace of God to fulfill the life of God in your life. You need to have it. He said, I have to enter a second time into mother's womb? Jesus said, most assuredly. Both these times he uses the term most assuredly or sometimes verily, verily or whatever. What he's doing is Jesus is basically making a statement that means this. I'm telling you the whole truth, nothing but the truth. This is what the truth is. This is what he's saying. Look, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I say to you, unless one is born, now he makes this statement, born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Now, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said this. And see, I take Jesus is at the top of the list. Every other minister is down below on the list. Jesus said you must be born again. He did not make it a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. The word must there means of a necessity. In other words, this is a necessity. You must be born again. That's a must. Why? He's dealing with the kingdom. You ain't going to see the kingdom. And you cannot enter it. This is one of the things. Don't try to teach sinners You can't teach a sinner to see things into the kingdom. They must be born again. You get born again, then you have the witness of the Spirit in you to teach you, to guide you into truth about stuff. You have the witness of the Spirit in you to bring you the place to know things. If a person's not born again, they don't have that. They don't have the Spirit. We try to teach sinners to live right. That's why religious churches, they teach all these natural things you do in the physical, trying to get people to live right. If you don't get people born again and start preaching the truth to them, people aren't going to live right. You don't want people just become religious, or some kind of religious zealot. You want them to have the life of Christ in them. You know, I'm not fighting to stay away from sin. I don't want to sin. Well, I'm just trying not to do this and I'm trying not to do that. Well, quit the trying and get some grace. And if you ain't got that, then get saved and get some grace. We're not, well, I'm just trying. Well, get over it. Next year you'll be saying the same thing, so get over it, whatever. We need to pick up this new birth, this new idea. But Jesus said, now I want you to see a statement that's made here, because we need to clarify this, because there's so much said about it. It says, when Jesus said in verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. He's talking about entering the kingdom. There's different things that people say about what this means. In other words, Jesus is dealing with the subject here of what it requires to enter the kingdom. Number one, he's not talking about water baptism here, because water baptism can't get you into the kingdom. I came in the kingdom. In fact, I wasn't water baptized till about a couple years after I was born again. And the Lord knows I had a born again life. I was born, if I'd have died, I'd have went to heaven. I didn't have to water baptize to go to heaven. Water baptism is no more than a testimony to other people and saying what you believe. And most Christians don't even know what water baptism is about. They think, ah, they got that all confused and messed up too. We put things in, you know, most of the time the New Testament, and when we look at the letters written in the church, most of the time the word dealing with baptism has nothing to do with water baptism. A church got all this, man, I'll tell you what. Water baptism is more important than accepting Jesus. And we know that in the church world, because they'll turn around, sprinkle babies, they'll do all kinds of things. Wow, they have this idea that some kind of water baptism is way up on the list, getting the life changed. That ain't gonna mean nothing. You know, you get your water baptized, you're going to go to heaven. There's a lot of people in churches and even so-called spirit-filled churches, people are on their way to hell and been water baptized. They've never been born again. Jesus himself said that to Kenneth Hagin. Jesus said that many, many people in churches today, and he talked about all the churches, spiritual, many have never passed from death to life. They've not gotten born again. They've never come to me according to the word. See, it's faith in the word that saves you. It ain't what you got an idea of what you think you need to be saved. It's faith in the word. What does the word tell you to do to be saved? Well, that's not important. We got our agenda, you know. We got our idea how this thing works. Born of water and the Spirit. Also want to say, well, you know, he's talking about, you know, when a baby's born and it's, you know, it's the water, you know, around, say you have to do that to get into heaven. Why would Jesus be talking about the fact of, you know, the only people can be saved are people that are in the earth here? Why would he talk about to get into the kingdom of heaven, you got to get born physically into the earth? Why, are there people going to heaven that weren't born? You see, when you come down and use a little bit of sense, he's talking about something spiritually. Why? Because water is a constant terminology used in from the Old Testament into the New Testament dealing with the cleansing. And it's not talking about water. The Holy Spirit is spoken of thousands of times in the Bible concerning water. It's a work of the Spirit. A work of the Spirit taking place. There's a dealing with the Word and the Spirit, born of water and the Spirit. We want to look at some of these things down in here, because of dealing with this is, what is this talking about? Going over and looking, you always let Scripture interpret itself. Let Scripture tell you what it's talking about. Begin to look, and if you go over into Scripture, in which we will here, I want to go over to Ezekiel, because we go back into Ezekiel where we you know, people turn around and use these scriptures, and rightly so, concerning being born again, what God was going to do concerning Christ. And let's look at what it says here. In Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, Ezekiel 36, let's look at these scriptures here. It says here, "For I will take you," verse 24, "for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of the countries, and bring you into your own land." Now listen to what he says. "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. I will" what? "I will give you a new heart." See, he's talking about a cleansing and a sprinkling. And what? Then getting the new heart. And he said, "I will put a new spirit within you." See, he's going to give you a new heart first. See, the Old Testament teaches it. The Old Testament teaches it just like the New Testament does, except the church don't teach it. You get the new heart first. Then he said, "I'll put my spirit in you, within you." He said, "I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." See, the new, God has a lot of faith in this born again thing and what it'll do. But see, the church teaches basically it don't work. You accept Jesus Christ and you're still an old sinner and you're still just going to sin. This is what God said it would happen to you when you got the real thing. This is said from the old covenant. He started out, what's he going to do? "I'm going to sprinkle you with clean water." In other words, "I'm going to cleanse you." Now, the water is talked about a work of God, a cleansing here. It's not talking about a birth from the standpoint of a water in a sack or a human actual physical birth. This whole thing is dealing with spiritually something's going to change. Why? God's going to get a new heart. You're going to get a new spirit. You see, these things were in the old covenant. And they're there, and let's just think about this. Nicodemus is a leader and a ruler. And in fact, if you look, Jesus made this statement concerning him. Jesus, I'll just read it to you from John, the third chapter, verse 10. He says, "And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Are you a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things?' Which really, in many ways, sort of seems the church today. I'm amazed that the basic things that the church don't know today. Teachers. Sit around a teacher and don't understand spiritual things. They don't know about spiritual things. See, this was written. Here it told him. God spoke to him directly, told him they're going to need a new heart. Nicodemus, you know, how can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? How stupid can you get? That requires at least 30 years of religious training to get that dumb. It's like, where are you coming from? You need a spiritual change, and I told you, and what are you doing? You don't get it. We're talking to the leaders, and they don't get it. Now, listen what Titus said. I want to read some things from the New Testament because we want to go over in the New Testament. There's other Old Testament scriptures we could go to. There's numbers of things in the Old Testament referred that the prophets said and different things refer to this. But they ignored them. God told them. I mean, just think about the disciples. Jesus, how many times that we have just recorded, now I'm sure there's probably others because we only have a minimum amount of recorded, did Jesus tell his disciples that he was going to have to die and suffer, and he'll be raised for the third day, and they still didn't believe. Oh. We won't talk how many times we were dumb and didn't pay attention. We'll use them, okay? But Titus says in Titus the third chapter, in verse 4 says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not" what? "By the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." How? "Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." See, Titus refers to it as the washing. There's a cleansing it takes. See, this water thing is about a cleansing. About a God's, it's a spiritual thing. It's not a fit. You know, he ain't talking about, well, we went down there and got a bath and God gave us the Holy Ghost. Got cleaned up. Look what he says. "Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." He's talking about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. He said that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There's salvation. This is, person gets born again. You're an heir of God now. You're not going to be an heir. Not someday. You're an heir now. See, I was taught in church, you know, you get all this stuff when you get to heaven. And I used to think, I don't need it when I get to heaven. In heaven, there's no enemies. In heaven, they'd say there's no sickness. Why would I need all this when I get to heaven? I need it here where the trouble's at. I need the grace and ability of God right here where I'm living right now. In heaven, there's nothing. There's no evil going on in heaven. There's nothing bad going on. I ain't fighting devils up there. It's down here on this earth. Here, the statement, I just want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says this, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Now see, it's not talking about water baptism. By one Spirit, he's talking about the Holy Spirit baptizing us into Christ. Listen, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all but been made to drink into one Spirit. You see, the terminologies of drinking water, and all that all has to do, they're spiritual things speaking of. They're not talking natural stuff. It's not talking natural things. These are things as terminology. Learn to read the Scripture. Let the Scripture define itself. We don't need some guy sitting around because he's educated and he's... Look, the Scriptures, go to the Scripture. Scripture upon Scripture will lay down what God's talking about. Now in Hebrews, it said this, Hebrews the 10th chapter and verse 19. Well, let me just say, quick read you this way. Hebrews 10 and verse 19. But I want to read Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as has been baptized into Christ have been put on Christ. He's not talking about water baptized. He's talking about being put baptized into Christ. You weren't baptized into Christ when you were water baptized. You were baptized into Christ when you received Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, and you were baptized the Holy Spirit. In fact, as we'll go on in teaching in this area, you're going to find out the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ when we are saved. And when we get filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized in the Holy Ghost, Christ baptizes us with the Holy Ghost. That's what the Scripture teaches. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into Christ. The day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and believed that God raised him from the dead, and that the Holy Spirit baptized me into the body of Christ. I was baptized into Christ that day. I was Christ's, one with him. That's what took place that day. Water baptism cannot do that. Water baptism has no power. There's no power in water baptism. So we need to get over in our thinking and change. Hebrews 10th chapter, verse 19 says this. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. In other words, he did this in his flesh. He took our sin on himself. He physically died. And he spiritually became sin on our behalf. This is what he did. But we're supposed to have boldness because he did that. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, do you think he's talking about, what's his discussion here? When he says, we're going to take a bath, you know, we're going to get the shower, get in there, and this is our body. What's he talking? He's talking about the work of God in us cleanses us. We can bring our body under control. You get washed with pure water. We'll find out what that is, what these things mean. He said, "What? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." There's a confession of our hope. Lots of times the Scripture dealing with hope, we said last week, has to do with the coming of Christ. But it's our hope of something in the future. We're supposed to maintain a confession. We need to maintain a confession of who and what we are. We need to maintain that confession. It's not just going, you know, I watch a church go around and confess things to other people and they don't even confess it to themselves. You know? I'm witnessing other people. You ought to witness to yourself once in a while. Do you some good. You'd live a better life if you would. Confess to yourself. What did he say? You got to hold faith. You have a confession that you must hold faith. You cannot hold on to anything you're not confessing. You're not confessing it. You ain't holding on to it. We hold on to the confession. Confessing, saying what we believe. So one thing is the Baptists were very good at that years ago. I don't know how they are today, but years ago, man, they were sold on their salvation and they would just turn around. I mean, they'd confess their salvation. Oh, they'd just say it, man. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I believe Jesus, Lord. They'd say that kind of stuff all the time. And then they go to church and the guy that was preaching to them, he'd preach to them and the same things. He'd preach to them about getting saved every Sunday. He'd preach to them. They're saying it all the time. They were very secure in their salvation. And they were much better off than most of the other Christians were in the other denominations. They were always wondering if they were saved. They were always, why? Because they don't hold on to no confession. You know, they want to find out about end times when they can't even live in the time that they're living in. They can't even walk and live in it. Don't worry about the future when you can't live in the now. Hallelujah. Let's get some victory now. Glory to God. See, we have this thing. It's holding on to the confession. You know, if you think about a confession, we were saved. And everybody knows in Romans 10 and verse, I'm just going to read from here, verse 8 through 11. It says, but what does it say? It says, the word is near you. Where is it? In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Faith is in your heart and mouth. Anything that's said that isn't in your heart doesn't produce nothing. You can say anything you like. It's in your heart. Faith is about what's in your heart and in your mouth. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or literally it should be Jesus is Lord. I don't know why they put it here as Lord Jesus, because it literally means confessing Jesus as your Lord. That's what you're doing. Most people have gotten born again and never confessed Jesus as their Lord. I accepted Jesus as my Savior. The Bible never told you to do that. The Bible told you to make Him your Lord. Is He in charge? Did you do that? Did you ever make Him in charge over you? See, make Him in charge over you. Jesus is my Lord. He rules over me. That's what a Lord is. He rules over me. He said, and believe in your heart. What? You got to believe something in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. It said you'd be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. How do I believe on Him? By what He just said to do. That's how I believe. That's a confession. Praise God. See, then we should make a confession. We should, praise God. I say to myself, Jesus, I think, just we were worshiping this morning and talked about Jesus being Lord. I was just up there when they were singing that kind of stuff. I was thinking, Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Lord, Jesus. See, I'm making a confession. I'm holding on to the confession. He's my Lord. Sickness ain't my Lord. Sickness is not on the top of the things that I talk about. My problems ain't number one on the list. My Lord's the top of the list of things we're going to discuss. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord over my body. Glory to God. He lords over it. The Lord took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. By the stripes of Jesus, my Lord, I'm healed. Oh, He's just my Savior, No, He lords over. See, if you hold on to right confession, man, it'll help you. Glory to God. We sure want to get there where we stick with the truth of the Word of God. Believing on Him means of what we say. Holding on that confession, Jesus is our Lord. Listen to what Ephesians makes this statement here. Ephesians 5. I want you to see something that is said here too, because it'll help us out. Ephesians 5 and verse 25 and 26. It said here, at first it speaks in verse 25, says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Now listen to what he's in verse 26. This is 26 is speaking about what Christ and the church. He said, that He might what? Sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water. How? By the word. By the word. Let's go on there. In other words, how is cleansing take place? By the washing of the Word. See, we've been reading things and talking about sanctification, all this kind of stuff. 1 Peter 1:22 says this. Listen to what 1 Peter 1:22 says. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brother, love one another firmly with pure love. But what does he say? But you have purified your souls. Why? By obeying the truth. And Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them with the truth. Thy word is truth. See, people are sanctified and cleansed. I want you to think about this. What was the washing that you got when you got saved? First, you had to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing the word. The word of God washes and cleanses you. The word of God. See, there's nobody can live a clean life. You can try to live a clean life. If you don't get in the words, you ain't going to live a clean life. The word's what cleanses you. The word's what does it. The Holy Spirit takes the word and reveals it to you and shows you what the word's. And see that word, the power of the word, it's the incorruptible seed. See, it's called, these are called many different things that they're called. But is the washing and the cleansing comes from the word of God. He told, Jesus said the disciples, he said, you're clean, you're sanctified, you're set apart by the words I've spoken to you. The word cleanses. The word washes. You got born again. You must be born again. He said, what? By water and the Spirit. It's by the word and the Spirit. That's how it works. The word is the water that washes you. It's what cleanses you. You believed in the word. You have to believe the word first. You believe the word. That's the washing. You got baptized into Christ by believing what the Word said and confessing what the Word said. And you were saved. You were cleansed. You got the regeneration. You got the cleansing that Peter talked about. It came from the Word of God. You were set apart by God by the Word and the Spirit. See, if you go through all the Scripture, I could go on in hundreds and hundreds of Scriptures. We could go through concerning these things. And see, it's the Word and the Spirit. We're in a move of God today, and it's called the Word and the Spirit. They're both going to be in manifestation in their fullness. That's what it's about. We've had sprinkles of this. We've had, you know, it was one of the things that started, you know, back in the 60s, the teaching ministries come out, started teaching the Word. Teachers were brought to the forefront. That's why, because there wasn't not very much good teaching. People weren't being taught the Word. They were going to churches and they were going to listen to their 30-minute little sermons where the preacher got up and talked to them about a lot of fleshly stuff and just being a nice person, being a good person. And you know what? People wanted to be, but they had no clue how, and the minister didn't either. They're going to churches and listening to ministers telling them to be good guys while the minister molested kids. And we're not talking about just the Catholics. I'll tell you what, I've been around this molesting thing for years, and I know the dirt that's going on in all this, what's called good churches. It's been in every group where you go around, and some of them that always preach in salvation, being born again, and they sure didn't act it. Junk going on. Sin going on. See, you can't come to the place of the washing and the cleansing and being separated to God like we're supposed to without the truth of the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost, the purpose of the Holy Ghost is to guide you and lead you into the truth. That's what He's there for. So you can get cleaned up. See, we want to get cleaned. And the Word is what we want to do. Faith in the Word of God, it sanctifies. Faith in the Word baptized me in the Holy Ghost. Faith in the Word did it. Faith in the Word baptized me into Christ. That's how I got born again. Then I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I got that by the Word of God was given to me. And I found out what the Word said, and I could receive the Holy Ghost. You can't receive anything that the Word doesn't directly teach you. You have no basis of faith for anything that the Word doesn't tell you that you can believe for. You have no basis for it. The basis of it is the Word of God. Either you found it in the Word or God. And there's one thing. Over time, the Lord spoke to me concerning certain things. I couldn't find in the Scripture it said Ed Gibson was specifically called to the ministry. My name ain't in the Bible if you haven't noticed. And I don't remember seeing any of your names there either. So, okay. Well, does the Bible speak to me? Yes, it does. Well, you know, it's one thing is this. See, the Lord spoke. One of the things that I know that people are called to the ministry, and the Lord spoke to me specifically. I spoke to me specifically that I was called to the ministry. He's, over the years, has spoke to me about certain things concerning ministry and things, and he's spoken to me about those things. See, I have to hear from God to believe. I can't just, you know, I want to do this. I've watched people do that over the years. Oh, I want to be this, and I want to be a that, and I want to do this. When, boy, I remember, you know, when Ken Copeland first, his ministry really started rising up, all these people, I want a ministry like his. And I used to think, what's wrong with you, knucklehead? You can't pick somebody's, he has a ministry like that, and I want a ministry like his. Because everybody that ever tried that, they failed in ministry. You don't pick something because you'd like it. Number one, you got to know what you're called. Are you even called to it? We don't look in the Bible and say, I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to do this. Now, there's things in the Bible tell you, I can do one thing. I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. The Bible says, now, they see, the Bible tells me I can do that. So, therefore, I'm allowed to do that. The Bible tells me I can cast out demons. I don't need a special anointing. I don't need some. I can do those things because the Bible says to do them. But you could have no faith to do them, you know. And over time, like I've known this in Christianity and most of the Spirit-filled people over the years, I've watched usually when a person needs something dealt with, they go call a minister to do it. And they'll say, you know, oh, you baptize the Holy Ghost, speak with tongues? Yeah. But what the first thing they'll do is run to somebody else to do something of power. First thing on the top of the agenda, run to somebody else. And then say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. No, you ain't. You're full of wind. That's all you got's wind. Going around telling people you're full of something you don't believe you are. You don't believe you're full of the Holy Ghost. Go get some. I never, look, my Christian, from the time I was a baby Christian, I never once went to a minister to get him to do what the Bible told me to do. Never one time. I've been called by big churches that are ready to come and deal with demonic problems in their church. Because a stupid pastor who's supposed to be Spirit-filled and says he lies and says he is. What on earth would you call me for? I'd be ashamed to do it. I'd be ashamed. Well, God uses you. The only reason He used me is because I'm a Christian. It's not because I'm a minister. I'm a Christian and I'm full of the Holy Ghost. That's why He does it. The Bible said I'd cast out demons in Jesus' name. What else qualification? Jesus' name was given to me. I can cast the devil out. Boy, that was a real, oh, I better fast and pray to find that one out. Boy, I'll tell you, that was a toughie. We lay hands in the sick and they recover. Well, I don't know. What do we got to do? I don't. What does it say? Lay hands on them in the name of Jesus. That's a real difficulty. You know, that's all tough, hard stuff. You see, we need to come back to the simplicity of the word. When I came into the kingdom, all of us crazy knuckleheads that were getting saved at that time, we all thought we could do those things. Isn't that right, Mike? We were just as dumb as a stick. We hadn't gone to no seminaries or cemeteries or nothing else. We hadn't done it. We didn't go to ask anybody if it's all right if we did it. We just went and did it, and it worked. We were so stupid. We didn't know we were doing wrong till we went to church and had some preacher tell us that you had to rise to some grade of spirituality to come to the place where God could use you. And the most incredible thing, He didn't use them. They never did it. Everybody's going to rise to a spirituality where God can use them. That's called the new birth. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, there we got it. I'll tell you, wasn't that difficult? Woo! It's the work of God. It's not the work of men. It's the work of God. And see, we need our minds washed with the pure water of the Word. We have too much dirty water preached in the churches. Too much dirty water we got into our minds and thinking how things work. I taught, for 6 years, I taught the gifts of the Spirit in a Bible school. 6 years. I never had one class. I never had one class in 6 years. And almost all these people that are coming out of Spirit-filled churches and are going to a Bible school. I never had one class that was ever taught right about the gifts of the Spirit that were never taught in their churches, ever. They always looked at you. I'd teach things and they would just look like a dog at a new dish. Copeland said, Cal to Newgate. They were just, because see, what this is what they were told. They were told this. Look, you got to become real spiritual and God will use you. And I used to think about it. I got born again. And when I got filled with the Spirit, a couple months after I got born again, demonstration of the Spirit started operating through me. When I look back then, I think, God, you were incredible. I'd have never used me. I was stupid. But, you know, my heart, I got full of the Holy Ghost and God wanted to manifest through me. God didn't say, Ed, when you get real bright, I'll show up. He showed up because I wasn't bright. I just wanted him. I wanted him to do something. And then I went and turned around and read in 1 Corinthians where Paul wrote to them and said, you become behind in no gifts. And then he said to them, I can't talk to you as spiritual. I have to talk to you as carnal. And I thought, that's it right there. See, you don't have to become... There's loads of people that are spiritually messed up that operate gifts of spirit because they'll operate and God use them. And there's ministers who think that they're just real rocket scientists spiritually and they can't get used. It's just, folks, the whole point of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the whole point of the power of God is to be used by demonstrations. That's what it's for. The Holy Ghost is for that purpose. Jesus said, don't go out and minister till you receive power from on high. He didn't say, stay down there till you get saved. He said, power, you need power. Most of the church is powerless. And many are powerless by their own doing. They just decide not to operate on the word. You know, yeah, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. But if we need anything of power, call the pastor or call this guy or call that, or let's go see if Benny Hinn got some, or let's go see if this guy got some, or let's go. See, I found out years ago. Do you know why God raises up most of these gifts like Benny Hinn and different ones in the church and in Kenneth Hagin? Do you know, I want to just tell you this, you may be startled. It wasn't his perfect will. God's perfect will is not to raise up special ministries. That's not his perfect will. Benny Hinn wasn't given to the church as God's perfect will. It was because Christians quit walking in the word and lost the revelation of what they're supposed to be doing. And he has to send special ministries to bring things back. Kenneth Hagin's ministry to the church was to bring things back that the church threw away and don't have. And today the church has thrown a lot out. And special ministries, God's going to raise them up in the end because of the ignorance of the church, not because of the glory of the church. It's to try to bring us back to the glory because we won't walk in the word we got. So God, out of his graciousness and mercy, sends these ministries. See, we're looking at God's raising people up. I read this silly thing in Ephesians about what ministers are for. They're to train you and teach you and perfect you, what? For the work of the ministry. I was not raised up to do the work of the ministry. I was raised up to teach you to do it. That's the Bible. The church don't like the Bible. Because we have all... I'm going to tell you what, the Spirit-filled people are just as religious as any other group. They have become just as religious. When we started off, us knuckleheads, we thought we were supposed to do the works of the ministry. We weren't going to get Ken Copeland out and do us. But you know what? He was telling us to go do it. He was telling us to do it. And we went and did it. Now, everybody wants somebody else to do it for them. That's called this, laziness. Self-centered, self-focused. I don't want to go out. Maybe it don't work and I'll look bad. You already look bad. Because you won't walk in the truth. Whose eyes do you think are looking bad in? One time when Kenneth Hagin was called up to heaven, Jesus looked at him and he said to Jesus, because Jesus rebuked him for not walking in things that he called him to do. And he said to Jesus, he said, I'm so unworthy. Jesus said, stand up on your feet. And he stood, he looked up, and he said it was like lightning coming out of his eyes. See, most people, he didn't have a sheep, honestly. He wasn't barefooted and carrying a little sheep. He's actually upset. And Jesus said to him, who called you, me or man? Who called you? Who called you? See, most people ain't got a Lord. Most Christians don't have a Lord. They don't have one that calls them. He said, who called you? And kind of thinking, said, I said, you did. And then Kenneth Hagin said this to him, I guess I better get doing what you said. I guess I better get doing what he said. He said it was like fire came out of his eyes. Phew. I don't know if I want to know that, Jesus. You know, I like this. I like the guy with the lamb. I want that guy. Give that guy that pats me and keeps telling me I'm nice when I'm not. Folks, you might as well laugh and enjoy it. You know, it's just, you know, it's just, hey, I blew it. Okay, Lord. But see, we have to deal with these things. We need to come back over into the truth. The church is filled with Nicodemuses today. It's filled with them. It's filled with Nicodemuses. And I'm not talking about the Methodists. I've watched among my own people and my own groups I come out of. Loads of Nicodemus, full of education, full of spirit. One of the big things now, and I get this stuff all the time because, you know, you can get your master's or your doctorate. You can get it, and they're sending this stuff all the time to me because, you know, of my years of ministry and different things and all this kind of stuff, and you can use that toward it. Oh, and loads of them, they're just doing it, you know. Well, I can use this to open doors to other people in other places. We don't need another educated guy. I'm fed up with them up to here. I've watched taking the time of this education I've taught, and the power of God has slowly waned and stopped. So what has the education done? If it was God education, it should have increased things, but it didn't. I can put PhD post hole digger beside my name, but it don't make me anything, and it don't mean I hear from heaven, and it don't make me anointed of God. I don't need man's hand laid on me unless a guy got something to lay hands on that can impart me something from heaven. Don't give. I don't need a shingle to hang on the wall. I don't need something to say, boy, Ed, you good. I'm sorry. Ed heard from heaven. I heard God speak to me. And God has proved himself year after year and day after day and time after time. And I know the place that I'm called to. And I don't need a man to pat me and tell me I'm in the right spot. And you got to come to that place yourself. This is the approval of men. And men say, oh, you're okay. Yeah, you're all right. You're good. You're doing it. I thank God for people knowing the Spirit, you know. And I like to, I've had people who talk into my life. And I want them to because they've proved themselves over time as being spiritual people. And they'll say things to bear witness to me what God's doing. And you want to have that. But you can't sit around because somebody else says you're called to something. If God didn't talk to you about it, stay out of it. God don't send somebody to talk to you what he don't talk to you about. He might verify it through somebody, but he'll talk to you about it. Why? It's your life and your relationship with him. You know, as I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. He said, don't you go in the ministry because your mama said you're called. He said, if God didn't talk to you about it, stay out. He said, you don't go on an inward witness. He said, God talks to you about it. See, there's things you don't want to go into because if you get into it, the devil's going to eat your lunch. Because I found this out about ministry. You go start doing the will of God and trouble comes. And this is what will happen to you. If you didn't hear from heaven and the trouble comes, you'll quit. Say, well, I believe I'm going to go do this or I'm going to go. Then you'll go change the direction, go do something else. You know how many people I've run into? Hundreds and hundreds of them come along. God's called me to this. And they go doing it and trouble comes. And well, I believe now God's called me to do this. I've watched it over the years. I've watched this stuff. The instability. The people that can't stand through anything. That people need a crowd to cheer them on. You know, is one of the ministers we had at Rhema, he said, many ministers love crowds and hate people. Folks, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of ministers have no satisfaction unless they got a big crowd. They feel bad. The reason they want big ministries, it isn't about reaching people for Jesus. It's about so they feel good. If I have a lot of people, then I'm a somebody. I need to prove something to somebody. No, I need to prove to Jesus. That's it. See, if you aren't satisfied with that, Don't go do anything else. Get satisfied in doing the will of God. Get satisfied in what God, no matter how little it might seem, no matter it's little. If it's the will of God, it's a big thing. In that little thing, he's going to have to supply for you and take care of you just as much as he's going to some guy doing what he thinks is some big thing. God's going to have to. In the will of God, I found this out and it's true. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin in 1987, he said, if you're in my perfect will, he says, my full blessing is on you. You don't ever have to pray and ask me to bless you, because my full blessing is on my perfect will. People pray for blessings because they don't know where they're supposed to be. They don't have a clue. Find out the perfect will of God. What am I supposed to be doing? And do it. You might stand for years and then nothing, ministry don't change. But if God called you to it, you'd be happy in doing it, whatever it is. If that's what your Lord told you to do, you should be the happiest person in the world about it. I don't want to go to do something else. If God didn't tell me to go someplace else, I ain't going. I ain't going to do it. I've learned over time. I've watched them come and go. I've had the Lord talk to me about ministers and ministries and how people come and things don't go and they go to do something else. Get out of his will. See, if God called you to do or be or what, you just, man, learn to camp at it. It's like with me, I've always said concerning this, this Lebanon is my place of milk and honey. It's my land. This is where God called me and put me. So this is my land of milk and honey. Naturally, it's the last place you'd call milk and honey. From a natural speech. But here at this place, God must care for me and take it. He must supply my needs. He must do it. I'm in his will. He has to. If he doesn't supply, then he's a terrible Lord and I can leave. I don't have to serve him because he lied about being a Lord. He's not good like the Word says, but he's every bit as good. See, so whatever he calls you to and puts you, he must provide there. He must take care of there. I don't mean you won't have battles and things will make you want to leave. My words. I never packed the car yet, hon, but we thought about it a few times. Those things happen. So those thoughts run through your mind. But this is the place that God calls you, and you get that in your own life. Whatever it is a job you're on or whatever you're doing. If God has you there and has you there for a purpose, this is what you've got to find out. You know? You don't choose jobs because of money. You don't choose them because of that. Find out where God wants you at and be content there. He has to supply your needs there. He has to do it. If he can't bring anything in beside what your employer can do, he ain't much of a God. Why would you call him God? He can only work with what man can do. You know? See, get yourself over into this thing, making Jesus Lord. Hallelujah. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. If he doesn't say anything to move, I just talk to a guy. You know, and he wants to know what the will of God is. I said, well, did God talk to you about any certain thing? He said, no. I said, you're sitting now in a place, I said, you felt God called you to do. I said, what are you trying to find some other place to go? I said, he got you here where he wanted to. He'll get a hold of you when you need to make a move. Quit wasting your time trying to find out about a move and just do the will of God where you're at and do it. If he could get a hold of you before of what to do, couldn't he do it again? Wasting his time praying, trying to find out the will of God when he's right in the middle of it. Looking for a change. Well, I changed. Well, there's desires in my heart. Well, God will have to fulfill them, but right now it seems that he wants you doing that has to do with the fulfilling of that thing that's in your heart to do. And if you walk out on that, you ain't ever going to get there. You ain't ever going there. You find out what that is and you park there. See, we don't know about faith and patience. We know about changing all the time. Change, change, change. We live in a society, constant change. Heaven ain't like that. We have a God that changes not. If you like change all the time, you don't know God. He'll park you in something for a long time. You think he forgot all about you, and he's never forgotten. But see, you'll end up getting out of faith. No. You just sit where you are. This is where I am, and this is what I'm doing, and God's going to use me here. God's going to bless me here in the middle of this. God's going to, he has to. I'm in his will. I always tell the Lord, if you want me to do something else, you just let me know. I'll gladly do it. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Right now, this is what you hear. Until you say anything, I'm just willing to park right here and just do it. I'm just willing to sit right here. This will just be that. This will be. If you want me to do this till Jesus comes, I would do it. But he has to take care of me here. He has to. Because if he don't do his part, I ain't doing mine. I ain't serving some guy. It's like going to work for a guy and you work for him, you know. You put your 2 weeks in and he don't give you a paycheck. Are you going back for the next round? Christians have served God for years and years and years and never got nothing. And say, I love him. That ain't my God. That ain't my God. My God looks after his people. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have a wonderful Father. The great wonder of our Father is he changes not. Oh, my mama. He's faithful. His word is faithful. Would he want to wash you with a word that wasn't good? His word is good. Let the word of God wash you today. Let the word of God begin to wash you. Get into the word of God. Let it wash your mind. Let it wash. See, you can bring your body into line with the washing of the water through the word. That's how you get healed. God said to Joshua, what do you do? Meditate in the word day and night. And then do it. Do to do all that's therein. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. See, God provided the way of success, but it depends on you. It don't depend on God. God changes not. He has already decided he wants to prosper you. He wants to bless you. Spirit, soul, and body, that's a given. He already desired. That's his desire. He's given us the word to wash us and cleanse us. See, that's a continual thing. You don't just stay clean because you got born again. You know, there was a tradition that was in the scripture. The Jews used to do it. They would do that. When you would go into their home, they would wash your feet. That was the thing, is foot washing. And it's because while your feet get dirty, you're out here trouncing around and you're walking. See, they went around in that stuff. They weren't wearing Nikes and, you know, stuff like that. I know a lot of people wouldn't know that today. But anyhow, you know, and they were walking, you know, some barefooted somewhere. You know, they wore even like the Roman type sandals that were popular in those times, and I guess they went down to the shoe store. They might have called them something else. I don't know what to do. But anyhow, they walk. Their feet would get dirty, and you'd go to the home, and they would wash their feet. And there's references used concerning Scripture about the washing of the feet. Because, you know, you go out here in this life, and you're walking through life, and you know there's dirt. Have you noticed that? Do most of you take baths once in a while here? You know, maybe like at least a Saturday night or something like that, you took a bath, and, you know? Somebody tied you on the hood of the car, took you down the car wash, ran you through, let the brush go over you a little bit. I know my mama would love to have done that with us. It was just But see, going through life, you get dirty. And there's things that you are in life. See, you wash yourself. There's thoughts and things that come. There's things that happen in life that are going on. And the word keeps you washed and cleaned. The word's what keeps you washed and clean. See, Joshua was taking, God sent in Joshua, like he did Moses, to take these people into the land. Did Moses have a problem? Well, Joshua's going to have problems, but his success, he's going to have to keep his mind and everything focused. He's going to have to keep himself washed and cleansed about what's going on around him. Because, see, you're running into that stuff all the time. See, we go to work and we work around people. See, this one thing is, over the years, I've had some times of people, we kind of mean, oh, I work here, I work there, and it's just so terrible, and they're just doing this and doing that. And they're focused on all that time, and I know this, they're not spending time washing their mind with the Word of God. They're focused on that trouble, and that trouble just messes my life. You got to keep yourself over into the Word of God. Or what happens? You end up just like the world. You're just focused on all the natural things around you and you're complaining about them all the time. The natural things that go on around you. And they become the things of your complaint. But see, if you get the word and let the word wash you and continually do that, you know, when you come in, just like they would wash the feet coming into the house, that was a tradition. You don't bring the dirt from the outside into the house. Well, don't let the dirt of the world, don't take it with you. Don't let it get into your heart and mind. The Bible talks about being cleansed, Cleansed of your mind and spirit. Why? Because if you keep letting it stay in your mind and you don't keep it washed, it'll end up in your heart. Because you'll end up talking it. You let anything in your mind enough and let it mess around long enough, you're going to start talking it and end it up with it in your heart. You don't want to do that. That's why the Word of God, you stay with the Word of God, it keeps you cleansed over there. Keep your confession. Hold fast to your confession. I'm saved. I ain't one of the heathens out there. We ain't walking like the heathens. We ain't living like the heathens. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. That's what I am. Glory to God. I ain't going to be another pain at work. Oh, I worked around Christians. They were some of the worst pains that there were you worked with. I always complained about the guy who said, a guy come to me one time, he's complaining about the sinners and that they cuss and things at work. I said, well, what'd you expect them to act like? I said, how did you act before you got saved? I said, I bet you were really wonderful to be around. I can tell by the way you act now. You were a pain then and you are now. Don't bother me hearing the other people do that stuff. That ain't me. I don't do that. I know Jesus is Lord. They can't see. Like most Christians, can't see. I worry about that stuff. That's just them doing their thing. My God, if you went to work and all the heathens were acting better than the Christians, what would you think? Hallelujah. It's good preaching anyhow. But see, get over there and his things is keep your mind washed, keep it cleansed, keep it pure. And that's how you do it, by the Word. You keep the Word, and you find out what the Word says. It says this, do it. Then you will make your way prosperous. God won't prosper. God's not going to prosper you. God is not going to prosper you. God is not going to prosper you. You do. He's given us everything we need to prosper. It's all been given to us. What you do is get into the Word. See, some of you need the areas of finances. I'll tell you what your major problem is. Now, it's not criticism. I'm just going to tell you. Your mind ain't renewed to wealth. You think poor. You think about lack. You get yourself overthinking wrong about things. You don't get yourself thinking. See, I'm prosperous. That's what I am. I'm prosperous. Hallelujah. I don't think poor. I don't think poverty. It's not mine. See, you get yourself cleansed in your mind, how your mind thinks about it. Many people are trying to believe God for money, thinking poor. Because it's one of the hard things. What they do, they end up acting out their thoughts and it kills their believing. Their actions are in line. They're always dealing with things of, well, we just can't afford to do this, and we just can't afford to do that. We would like to do it, but we just can't afford. Well, then buy a Chevy or whatever you can't afford. Get something else. Buy a Mercedes. I don't know. But anyway, we can't afford. And what do you have? You know, I might not have the money to go out and get something, but I'm not going to talk like that. What's in my heart to do or I want to do, you get talking right about it. You don't talk that stuff. Well, we just can't afford that. I'm sorry. God can, and I can believe it from Him, and it will come. It will happen. See, people believe they can afford it when they see it and call it faith. Wasn't God good? Yeah, in spite of your unbelief, He did good for you. In spite of your heathenism, He did good. He blessed you in spite of that. See, this is why you keep yourself washed, you keep yourself over to where you think right about it. How do you view yourself? How do you see yourself? Is Jesus Lord? Is He sitting up there in heaven wondering if He's going to get a new pair of shoes tomorrow? How are we going to afford them? Dad, do we get lunch tomorrow? Did you have all the checks for the angels, which you owe them next week? Is there enough to cover that? It sounds dumb. But folks, the church is rampant with that kind of thinking. We don't think of God. We talk about all that God has, but we don't equate ourselves with Him. We don't equate ourselves one with Him. We equate ourselves as I'm here, He's out there somewhere, and He's living good, and And, you know, we're just down here and we don't equate ourselves to him. This is our dad. How many fathers here, you want your children to be blessed? See, my great desire is my children to be blessed. Am I working trying to make my kids poor? See, one of the things that I did is we taught our children the word when they were young and how to prosper and how to have a good life. We taught them that when they were young. We taught them what the word was to do that. And you know what? They end up having good lives. How did it go there? Didn't fall out of a tree. God wanted to prosper them, but he didn't prosper them. He didn't. Not until they did something. What we did is we washed their minds with the word of God and taught them what the word said and taught our kids over time. We made our kids believe for things. We didn't just give them what they wanted all the time. You believe God, trust God. Our kids learned from little how to believe God and get stuff. They learned from little how to do it. See, most parents warp their children. They're God. They're going to take care of it all. They're going to meet all their needs according to their riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's what they're going to do. They don't teach their children. But see, we taught our children how to use faith. We taught them how to do it. Say, hey, this is what you got. This is what we do. We're passing this on to you. This is what's valuable. You know, we leave bank accounts and think that's valuable. And what they do, they take and blow it. By the time you died and put it in a box, two months later, there ain't no money left. Why? Guess what you taught them. He's meddling again, ain't he? See, you teach. You teach people how to wash their minds and things with the word of God. See, that's what I'm doing here. See, there's ones here, you weren't taught to write things when you were younger. You weren't taught. I wasn't taught to write things when I was young. I had to sit and take time to get my mind washed and washed and washed. I've run into this many times. There's people in the world have more sense than what the people in the church do, have their minds more washed toward the areas of wealth and how to get it and walk in it than the church does. The Christians do. They were smart enough not to buy the Christianity of poverty. They didn't buy it. And so they taught how to have things and how to have stuff. They taught how to do those things is to prosper. And then the church wants to believe God had the heathen come in to get their money. Why? So they can blow it. Because if you don't get your mind washed, you'll blow it too. Good preaching. Hallelujah. You get your mind washed. Father, I want to thank you. I thank you so much for taking the time to clean us. Father, I just appreciate the word so much. And Lord God, it's just not words on a page. You gave us the living word as our Lord. Oh, my. You could have done nothing greater than to do that for us. And I'm just so grateful. And Lord God, I want to thank you. That wasn't enough. You gave us the wonderful Holy Spirit to take that word and reveal it to us so we can wash ourselves and wash our minds, wash our souls, renew our spirits, Lord God, with the word of God and build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Hallelujah. Lord God, you have provided so much wonderful stuff for us, so much incredible. Lord God, given us the way and the ability to do it. All of it came through this package of the new birth. Hallelujah. And it was, Lord God, we didn't earn none of it. And you simply came and asked us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive him. That's, Lord, it's just so mind-boggling that such wealth to put us in the inheritance, Lord God, given us the inheritance of Christ Jesus. Everything that belongs to him, you gave it to us. Lord God, how could we ever think that you would have any ill will toward us? How could we ever think that you wouldn't provide for us the means and the ways, Lord God, to walk in your great blessing? Lord God, to think that you might hold something back when you never withheld your own son. What a God. Lord God, I think there's no problem in having great pride that you're my father. I'm so proud that you're my daddy. Amen. I'm so proud, hallelujah, that I get to be in your family. Amen. Oh, Lord God, How wonderful it is. I didn't have to earn my way in. I was just born into it. Hallelujah. We were just born into this family, Lord God. Lord, we're not trying to get in. We've been born into it. Rightful heirs. Rightful heirs of this kingdom. And Lord Jesus, our daddy gave you authority over everything in heaven and earth and under the earth. And Lord Jesus, as the elder brother, you surely did deserve it because of all the wonderful things that you did to accomplish the will of God so we could obtain it. So we could obtain this kingdom and come and live and walk in this kingdom and have the blessing of this kingdom. You did it all. You surely deserve to be Lord over us. You deserve it. Lord Jesus, we just submit ourselves to you today. You're my Lord. I want you to lord over me. You have proved yourself faithful in all things. I can entrust myself to you. You will always do what's right. You'll always do what's right. You're just like your daddy, just like my daddy, and their daddy here. Our daddy always does what's right. I want to thank you, Lord God, that as we leave this place today and as we go from here, Lord God, whether all day today or tonight or in the morning, waking up and day after day passes, you change not. Your word stays steadfast. Your word is unmovable. You set a foundation. And you said, Lord God, and Jesus said himself concerning the person who hears the word and does it is like a man who built his house on the rock. Lord God, we're on the rock. We hear the word and we're going to do the word. Hallelujah. We're going to obey the lordship of Jesus, the word of God. Hallelujah. And we're going to stand through every storm, through every trial, through every temptation of life. We will stand. Because the word says, Lord God, you're able to make a stand. Hallelujah. Your grace. If you could do that concerning the old covenant, how much in the new covenant, hallelujah, under the great grace given to us through Jesus Christ, we surely will stand. We will not fall. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God, you've set us to prosper, Lord God, in this days and times, and not just financially, but Lord God, in every area of our life, with our health, hallelujah, the soundness of our minds, Lord God, that we're prospering, hallelujah. Our soul is prospering, Lord God, hallelujah. If John prayed that, hallelujah, he would pray the same thing today. It's written in the book. Our soul is prospering. Our soul is prospering, hallelujah. Our mind, will, and emotions are under the control of the inner man. We're not dominated and ruled by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Lord God, I want to thank you. And Lord God, our mind is being renewed and washed and cleansed constantly. Lord God, afresh by the Spirit of God working in us. Father, I thank you the things we believe in our heart and say with our mouth, they come to pass in Jesus' name. Lord God, we prosper in whatever we do. Lord God, I want to thank you. Lord God, the Word says whatever we lay our hand to do, you would prosper us. I want to thank you. We lay our hands, the things we lay our hands to, whether this week, next week, or whatever, we are blessed in whatever we do. We prosper in whatever we do because we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're blessed going out and coming in. That's who we are. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're blessed in our basket. Lord God, in our savings, in everything that we have. Lord God, the basket is pressed down, shaken together, running over in the name of Jesus Christ. We're blessed in every area, Lord God. Lord God, our bodies are strong in the name of Jesus, so they're not weak. They're strong. Hallelujah. Health dominates and rules us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us, quickening our mortal bodies today in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you. Health belongs to us. It's ours. Our bodies are being refreshed and renewed in the name of Jesus. We're strong in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord God, I want to thank you. Health, health, the renewing, rising up the wings like an eagle in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're refreshed in old age. Glory to God. God. As we get in order, we're getting better in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're able to fulfill the will of God. We're not weak. Our minds are strong in the name of Jesus. We think clearly. We have the mind of Christ. We're not trying to get it. We have the mind of Christ. He lives in us. The Holy Spirit is taking all that belongs to Jesus. He's revealing it to us. We hear His voice and no other voice in the name of Jesus. We hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and we don't listen to any other. He teaches us. He takes us to paths, the Lord God, where the streams of there's comfort. There's fresh things to eat and relax and rest. We're not led into trouble and fear and worry. I want to thank you, Lord God. You're working in us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God. We're going up and not down. We're going ahead. We're the glorious church without spot or wrinkle in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back for us. Hallelujah. And we will be ready doing His word. He will come and find us. Hallelujah. Laboring in the fields, walking in the glory and in the power of God. That's our destiny and we will fulfill it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, you chose to use us and you will. Hallelujah. Your glory will be revealed through us. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it. That is your good pleasure. And we thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We want you to have your good pleasure. We want you to enjoy it. Manifest in yourself through us in Jesus' name. Amen.